Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah and His beloved Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, who died for me and some of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for giving, for praying, for your letters, your support, everything that each of you do for our shepherd. Hallelujah. On behalf of all of us here at Straightway, we send our love. And if they all had a moment to tell you thank you, I know they would. So I give it to you myself. I'm Ashley. Sister Ashley, a beloved possession of Jesus Christ, and a woman of possession belonging to Deacon Bell. I am a steward over his three children, and I pray that if this way is new to you, that you will relax, sit still, be at great peace tonight, and allow our conversation to bless you. Mother Jennifer, are you live with me?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I am live with you. I pray that everyone can hear me well. Thank you for having me on, Sister Ashley, and thank you for your dedication to Yah, your dedication to this show, and for everything that you do behind the scenes for the love of your sisters, the love of the Messiah. We just really appreciate all your hard work and your dedication. I pray that everybody can hear me. Looks like we got some tens coming in, so I think we can go ahead and move forward. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley, and I pray you can hear me.
Hallelujah. I do hear you very clear. Double honor, abundant honor to Elder Rufus. He's coming to my mind a lot today, constantly lifting all of y'all up, knowing that the Father has you cradled in his bosom and in the palm of his hand. Bless Georgia. Bless everyone who has submitted themselves one to another in the fear of the Most High Yah. And, you know, every woman that listens to our show that is determined to learn about their Creator and to follow him, thank you so much. You add strength to us, and we can't say thank you enough. And as Pastor has called you recently and in all the many years I've known him, you are jewels to the kingdom. So your price is far above rubies. Thanks for tuning in. Special shout out again to Clarksville. They come to my mind often. Brother Ron, bless you. If you ever hear this, or just even your beloved wife, Sister Tamar, bless you, Clarksville. Hey, we got another show for you week after week. It's our reasonable service. It's our duty. And we just pray that it be a highlight of your week as you approach, Pastor's Blog Talk, as you approach the Sabbath and Lion's Den, et cetera, all the many things that we have for you. Please check out our YouTube channel a little deeper. Go over to archives, dig deep into where Pastor is speaking, his other platforms, find the other channels that are related to his voice, where you can find him, find the truth, buy it, sell it not, and dig deep, okay? You're going to find him on Rumble, you're going to find him on Patreon, and you're definitely going to always have him on our channel. Thanks to Sister Aya, who provides our clips, our audio recordings, editings, everything that the House of Tamu does all the way over in Finland. Hallelujah. A special shout-out to Sister Adele from so far away as well, and to our sisters in the Philippines. We can go on and on. I think I'll just acknowledge the Father first, Mother Jennifer. I really, really I thank him for so much, and sometimes it's in a generation where everybody can utter thank you with their lips, you know, it can really be taken advantage of, and really it comes from the depths of my heart that he would place me amongst the people, give me a shepherd and a husband that would teach me about him, you know, how he thinks, how his spirit moves, how I can change, how I can be a better version of myself, you know, the best version of myself, how I can listen and follow and humble myself and submit and surrender and yield myself to his people, to put myself lower than them. You know, I really do acknowledge each of you as the Father's possession, as a precious, precious possession. I know that he works in the consciousness of your minds. I know that he leads you and directs you, not all of you, but a large majority of you, and some of you may be new, but I just glorify him for that, because our flesh would destroy us. You know, the negativity, the destruction of the flesh, the wickedness and the evil of the world. We're in a time where evil is good and good is evil, you know, and there's a huge melting pot of hell manifested around us. And I just thank him for his blood, Mother Jennifer, for every drop of it. I'll never forget the redemption. You know, I reflect on what he's done before he even knew me. And it's benefited me to reflect on what the Father has done for his people, that I would never exalt myself above any of you. And, hey, I admire the strength of the youth tonight. I acknowledge each of you who are, you know, 13, 15, 16, whatever your ages may be, and you're holding the faith, and you know the enemy's going to war against you, and he's going to bring foes of your own house, and he's going to bring your own lust and temptations and put them right in front of you. But, man, blessed be the Most High Yah for keeping all of us, and that I entrust him with, the keeping of our souls. I thank him tonight for my husband. Mother Jennifer, my husband is very, he's very wonderful. You know, sometimes I would just initiate a conversation so that he'll preach, you know, and I did that really early this morning, and he'll get to preach it so loud. You know, it's wee hours in the morning. It's still dark outside. There's no sun up at all. And I'll just ask one question to try to really ignite his spirit. And he's so, like, you don't got to pump and prime that man. Like, his spirit's just ready to glorify the Father at all times. You know, it's a pleasure to know him, to hear him singing, even though he'll tell you he can't sing. You know, he's a really joyful presence to be around. Great Father. Glad to know him. Glad to serve him. And on behalf of all of Pastor's Home, thank you very much for all that you know, the integrity that you have to keep it, the integrity you have not to change your character to the beloved body of Christ when some are painful grievers. You're very balanced, and I bless the house of Pastor Dow, who has proven he can lead and have a house of great order. He's taught me the law, and that law that everybody touts is written on their heart. I don't say that mockingly. As Mother Jennifer, we have it written on our heart, but if we didn't hear it, our heart couldn't bear witness. And so for the hearing is very, very priceless to me, and I couldn't hear without a preacher. Hallelujah. So I thank the Father for everyone he's rising up in this time, everyone he's anointing, putting in their place, appointing, getting everybody to, you know, save up, stash up, get in your right place, come out of her, do what you need to do. Don't be weighed down by your by the enemy or your family, you know. And I'll make a little side note because I forgot to mention something last week about the family. But, hey, off to you, Mother Jennifer. We could do acknowledgments all day of our lives because our King is good to us. But bless you. Who's on your heart?
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. Yes, he is so very good to us. And I just want to acknowledge the goodness of Yah, how he just continually keeps us. And for what he's doing with me in the season, and not just with me, but the daughters of Zion, you can see that he's really trying to bring about a maturity that we've never had before. You know, so many times you see where people have so many questions, you know, so many questions that they desire to be answered. And the Father is really putting people in a position to where they're really seeking him. They're seeking his spirit. And so I'm really excited about him maturing us in the women that he has created us to be. It really is a blessing to be kept by him, to be owned by him, to know that we don't belong to ourselves, to know that we have his mind, and that fixes every single fragmentation that the world has, you know, has placed on our minds. You know, every single piece that has been torn apart, I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus is what binds and puts our minds back together. And his mind is never divided. It's never schizophrenic. It's never fragmented at all. His mind is always solid. And so I'm very thankful that he has given me his mind and that he is growing me in that mind every single day. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for leading and guiding his family very well. He's, you know, very, very, very busy these days. And, you know, Sister Ashley, when you look at the work that our husbands do, you see that most of it is very mental. You know, the things that that they have to deal with, it's very mental. But I'm so happy and excited just to have a man who is very, very steady in his behaviors. He's not led by emotions at all. He's always looking to the book for answers. He's always looking for the example of Yah so that he can be the example that he needs to be. So I'm so grateful just to have his presence in my life and, you know, to not be led by a man who is emotional, but who knows how to teach me to be the woman that I need to be. He doesn't teach me to be masculine. He teaches me to be the woman that I need to be. So I'm very grateful for that. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dial and his family and, you know, for the calling that they have on their lives is it's incredible. It truly is amazing. Bless you, Pastor Dial, for teaching your family, for the wives that you have who embrace us with so much love, and you all are so selfless. Blessings to you, Pastor, for the information that you put out, for the live sessions that you put out on a weekly basis, sometimes several times a week, taking an hour or two out of your week just to teach us really is an honor to be able to have you do that for us, knowing that you have a family to take care of, you have a ministry to run, and you have so many other things that you could be doing. But we are blessed that you take the time out to really teach us, that you desire us to truly have the mind of Yah. So bless you, Pastor Dial, and blessings to your entire family. And I want to say blessings to all of Straightway, Tennessee. You know, as we just continue to grow in this, I think about how you all started out. I think about where you all were when we first came along and how well we were received. You know, you all were so used to being together as such a very small family, and you welcomed us in and you brought us in and you took us under your wing. And even as we continue to grow, you all always take time out for those who are coming in. So I just want to say thank you to Straightway Tennessee for the love that you've shown over the years, even in the midst of the growth. And we love you all. So bless you, and that's all I have.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your words of honor. I want to take a moment just to sound off our shofar in the beloved memory and passing of our sister Amy Sims. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we don't say rest in peace. Hallelujah. For we know there's a great place of rejoicing and worship. Hallelujah, that awaits the righteous. Like I said earlier, check out Rumble, check out Patreon, and find the truth, find our shepherd's voice wherever he's at, please. Couple of different things. I'll just kick off our conversation tonight, Mother Jennifer, after I say the Be a Blessing list, I hope to initiate tomorrow. Yahs will be done tomorrow. Check out Straightway Help Me's video. I pray to have those things together for you if it all comes into place. And so Be a Blessing is something that I've said in the previous weeks, and I don't want to forget to remind each of you. It's on my mind. Thank you for asking, and thank you for calling in. Hey, some of you called in with the previous dates, which we had set up, which was March 24th, and it was extended now, right, all the way to April 4th. So please call in if you can and change up your date so we can see how many people are staying for each day. It really helps when it's time to purchase any goods, groceries, et cetera, things like that, and we'll keep you as informed as possible. Stay really close and tuned in to what our shepherd may offer on his channels and the things that he may inform you of. So, hey, call us back. Let us know your new departure date, if any, okay? That would help us greatly. If you haven't called in yet, there's been no cutoff announced, okay? So you're still clear at this time. Stay close and stay tuned to Pastor in case he announces a cutoff. But at this time, we're still free and clear to receive your calls. Let us know, okay? Let us know. Anything else, Mother Jennifer? Any announcements?
Yes, I want to ask you a question, and because I just want people to be able to get a visual of what it takes to really plan to host the saints. So I don't know if you have these numbers in front of you or not, Sister Ashley, but can you tell me roughly about how many pounds of chicken did we go through during the Feast of Tabernacles and how many dozen eggs did we go through during the Feast of Tabernacles for a one-week period?
So do the math, Chef, on, let's say, 55 times 7 and 2,500 pounds of chicken, 2,500 pounds of chicken, and I'm about to get a good guess of 385 dozen eggs. That's a pretty good guess. 385 dozen eggs. Hey, we got people who crack eggs. We got people who cook meat. We got people who make gravies and pot pies, chicken fillets. We got a man who smokes for us. We got servers. We got drink makers, tea makers. We make tea in one facility. At our precious and beloved Dad Dow's home, we make tea over there. We got sisters that are off land that bring in unleavened bread from their communities, that bring in granola from their communities. We coordinate what we want to receive as far as food and goods and services. And then Mother will coordinate what she expects out of us from our hospitality and our you know, our goods, our everything that's been given unto us, you know, we're held accountable for that. So it's a really perfect balance, Mother Jennifer. It's a beautiful place to be. I'm very thankful to the Father that I don't have to pack up and go anywhere as some of you do. So I thank you so much for, you know, I can't say the inconvenience because it's such an exciting time that you want to pack those bags and get here. Some of you are flying, coming from all over other parts of the world. You want to just come like you're camping. Be ready for nice hot meals twice a day, snacks at night, fun, fellowship. You know, consider your offering you want to bring our shepherd. Consider the maybe the sharing even of alcoholic beverages that you may have amongst your tents and with your friends and brethren. It's just a beautiful time to manifest our customs. It really, really is. It's the restoration of something that's been lost. And, man, it just echoes throughout all eternity. Miracles happen, and we can't say enough good things. So I know you asked me about chicken and eggs, but, hey, how can we not glorify the Father for knowing one another? That's a pretty good answer, right?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And I just wanted everybody to just really get a visual of the hospitality that is put out, you know, from Straightway, Tennessee, and the love that is put out and all the hard work that goes out. So, you know, when we talk about the Be a Blessing list soon, just keep that in mind, that we really want to bless Straightway. This isn't a handout or anything like that. We are just trying to be a blessing to Straightway, Tennessee, as they have blessed us so much over the years. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Shout out to Sister Narissa. Bless you. Thank you for communication. She says on Patreon, Pastor requested we call in by this 6th day for our Passover date. So please call in by this 6th day. That's why I like to say some things verbally so that, hey, if there has been a communication that I didn't catch or didn't jot down, you, my sisters, will be faithful to let me know, and I can tell everyone. So thank you, Narissa. It is 6th day. This 6th day, please call in. It's not too late until, what 6th day? 24 hours?
Yep.
Yes. I'm acting like it's days away. This 6th day, call in by this 6th day. No, it's tomorrow. Please call. When I can't guarantee someone's gonna answer in the middle of the night after this show, but please, when you wake up, let it be the first thing on your mind. Spread the word. Spread the word. Mother Jennifer, are we ready for conversation?
Yes, I'm ready for conversation, Sister Ashley. Let's go.
It's nice to conversate with you, Mother Jennifer, a nice, mature woman of Yah who doesn't give me any type of emotions. I'm free and clear to speak to you. There's no one around us. I tell my sisters often, I don't really premeditate my words or what I'm going to say. Sometimes things will come to my mind during the week, and, you know, Pastor had asked me, does it take a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to put into the show, and I quickly thought, I didn't want to say no. Because especially in the early years of the show, it took countless hours of, you know, prayer, you know, getting your heart sincere, and then, you know, studying, getting the word in, listening over and over. It became a different, you know, a different focus, because you don't want to misrepresent or just dishonor in any way. You know, you want to just have a heart that's really clear and clean. And so I fought hard for that, and then time has come where it's easy. I can sit down and I can do a show every day. But at the same time, the reason I said yes to him, because it takes a lot of time. When he asked me, does it take a lot of time for a show? Yes, because I spend countless hours on my knees still to this day, you know. And in prayer, that's my motivation. So I you know, as we all, you come to the Father, you start getting his direction in your conscious, you know, you start getting leadings and awareness, and things are open up to you, and that's his communication for me too. How about you, Mother Jennifer? Do you long for his presence?
Yes, Sister Ashley, I do. And, you know, I thought about that question when Pastor asked you, and, you know, it seems that a lot of what we discuss or what we talk about, you know, are things that the Father really presses on your heart for that week. And so you dig a little deeper to see, okay, why is this on my heart? What do I need to learn from this? What needs to come out of this? What's the teachable moment from this? And you make sure that your heart is right first and foremost, so that if you get to the point of discussing it, that you're in the right place. So yes, ma'am, I agree. There is a lot of time that goes into it. Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Hey, tonight I had a, this is, kind of on the fly. We say on the fly in the restaurant, Chef. Why do we say on the fly in the restaurant?
Because it's right now.
It's right now. I'm sitting here. You know, I get service on my phone in the tabernacle. I don't really get good service down the hill. It's actually more of a blessing than you would understand. But here comes a comment, straight live on the fly, when we were giving our acknowledgments. And I want to use it tonight. It's from a video that we posted called Barefoot and Pregnant. It was a clip from Pastor Dal's recent Blog Talk Radio show with Brother Kabir. I also have an email that I'm going to read. Okay? So, I'm kind of doing my any, mini, miny, mo right now, I think I'm going to do the comment first. Here comes the comment, Mother Jennifer. Pastor Dal hates women and only wants them as servants and uses the Bible to justify his wicked accusations. The Most High gives us choices as well. Not everyone can have or want children. He needs to shut up and take us several seats down. There's a typo there. See, I'm a woman of self-control. So I'm not going to allow this to penetrate the way that she wants it to, because the intentions of that weighty statement isn't considering the tenderness of the man that she doesn't know, the giving of the man that she doesn't know, the sacrifice, his own family. He's a father. He's been betrayed, forsaken, forgotten, cast down, mocked, laughed at, and accused, and now you just added yourself to the number. But no, people don't consider that, because why? His tone and what he's saying. Let me tell you what happens, Mother Jennifer, as you already know. There's a dynamic in a human spirit, and science will even explain it better than I could. When something occurs right in front of you, whether your eyes see it or your ears hear it, when something happens in your circle, in your space, you're faced with decisions that are survival mechanisms. Agree, resist, run, go tell, go share, go hide. There's quite a few mechanisms, and depending upon you as a woman, your nature, and what you've always been led by, now you have a man, pastor, who you allowed in your space by clicking on a video. You allowed him to minister to your space, and you didn't agree. And so you resist him as a man, and this mechanism inside of you as a woman says fight or flight. I'm either going to stay here, listen, and learn and see where he's going, see if I can be better. You know, all those little questions that the Father begins to minister to those that are his. Or you flee. And even sometime initially as a woman flees the voice and flees the concept of the truth, you know, hashtag facts. When she flees that, she says, man, I ain't got nowhere to go. Because you can click the video off and you can change the channel and you can get in your car and you can go to work and you can turn on the radio and you can get in the shower. You can hit a vacation spot, take a cruise, do your thing. Feed the flesh all you want, but something inside you says you can't flee. Hashtag facts. So, Mother Jennifer, because you don't know where I'm going, I got to switch this email and I'm going to show you a different heart, okay? But what say you?
Sister Ashley, I was going to say that, you know, this society has catered to women so much that they fear speaking out about the wrongs that are committed today by women who are contrary to the word. And, you know, they've never truly met a real man. And when they hear a real man speak, then, you know, they come up with these accusations that, oh, this man hates women. this man is a narcissist. You know, and there's all these accusations that you hear, and it's because no one in this society has ever spoken against a contrary woman. Never, ever at all. And even when you look at the face of religion, you know, you look at the Joel Osteens and the T.D. Jakes or whomever you have, but they're always so soft-spoken about women, and they never address the wickedness of women at all because they've been so manipulated themselves, and, you know, everybody's manipulating everybody else. And so, again, they've never truly met a real man, and when they truly meet a real man, then that's when you see the demonic manifestation. And that's what you hear when you're reading the comments. Sister Ashley?
And what's worse, having a man talk to you that way or having women support him? I mean, that's torturous to that mind, you know, that women would actually follow, listen, hear. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. Here's the email. Shalom, blessings, and much love, my sisters. I wanted to write because I've really been struggling recently and I need help. One of the things that I've been struggling with is understanding a woman's value, her worth, and her purpose. After Pastor's last video, and she speaks of a recent video that was very weighty in if you're unconverted, right? Just hashtag facts, just straightforward, straight from the word. Just dealing with a woman according to her sinful and iniquitous nature, okay, her fleshly nature. So after Pastor's last video, any understanding and peace that I thought I gained was shattered. I'm broken. And after that, questioning why I'm even here, if no matter my goodness, it will always be worse than a man's wickedness, right? So she is, pull it up, Chef. The verse, but a woman I found none. Okay? So she's saying, man, she's being sincere. And this is a woman of righteous, intentional character, you know, intending to be righteous. So she's asking with all her heart, man, if I'm always just going to be worse than a man's wickedness, then what's my worth? And the reason why we bring it up, Mother Jennifer, is because she's not the only one hearing it. If you're a woman that has been bound by any form of rejection, brokenheartedness, rape, molestation, abandonment, etc., those things that have followed you, you're going to hear this man speak to you, and your survival mind, your survival mechanism is going to go, man, he's talking to me like this man did, or that man. You know, he's demeaning me, degrading me. You know, barefoot and pregnant. Come on. Back to the letter. I really don't understand. I wasn't raised in a good home. I'm not around saints often, especially ones that have spare time to teach me. And I don't know how to be a godly woman in every aspect. I'm trying and I'm willing to learn. And she says the woman that she gets around, which is a very righteous woman, and she says I get around her as much as I can, as well as other great role models in this ministry. And I'm struggling to understand and grasp so many concepts, and I'm sinking. And there's so much that I don't know and that I want to learn, but I really don't know what to do or where to even start. Is there a direction that I could be pointed in? And I really hope that this show, its intention is to reach you and those of you who think like you. There's a really wonderful dynamic, Mother Jennifer, to preaching that I observe. And the dynamic is always an intention of love to draw, gain, and pull you out of where you are, to change you to who he is. And that intention is manifest every video and every preaching that our shepherd has ever made. For over 20 years. The intention is perfect. The intention is one of great love. Do you agree, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, Sister Ashley. You know, I find it I find it interesting that those who are truly striving for holiness, those are the ones who take, you know, the words, and they really take them to heart, and they really take them to Yah. They really desire to change. But those who are living wicked lives, like, you know, the comment that we read before the letter that we're talking about now, but the comment that we read, you know, that woman was totally and completely offended by the message that was put out from Pastor. And then you have this letter here, and this dear sister is really searching her heart, really striving for holiness, you know. And it's interesting how that works. You've got the ones who are holy and the ones who are righteous who are really searching their hearts, and then the ones who you know are not even trying to be holy, you know, they're just masculine women, those are the ones that are not even searching their hearts at all. They're just walking around offended. And so I remember when Pastor said, you know, it's necessary sometimes in preaching, even though the intent is love, it's necessary to speak and to offend so that you can really see what is in the heart of an individual. And that is so wise, you know, it is so wise because he's following the footsteps of the Messiah. You know, when even the Messiah asks, you know, does this offend you? And so these are things that you have to ask yourself. And I'm glad, you know, I know who this letter is written by, and this is a beautiful sister that's truly striving for holiness. And I will say this, that when you hear preaching, you know, you're going to either hear the voice of conviction or you're going to hear the voice of condemnation. And now when condemnation speaks, it's going to keep you in a low state where you're going to continually accuse yourself. Nothing is ever going to be good enough. You'll never pull yourself out of the pit. You'll never go to Yah. That condemnation is going to try to keep you away from Yah. It's going to try to keep you away from other sisters that can help you. So I'm glad that this particular sister reached out. And conviction is going to encourage you. You know, you're going to be happy that you're hearing the truth, and you're going to change whatever needs to be changed, and you're going to move on. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So I'm going to slow my speech down and myself down and try to make some really key points. When Isaiah spoke to the women, he actually warned them of disaster, okay? And he told them to tremble because you're at ease. And you need to be troubled, Isaiah 32. Be troubled, for you are careless. Strip yourself and make yourself bare. Gird yourself with sackcloth. Lament. Why? Because your palaces will be forsaken. Why? Because your vineyards aren't going to be full. Your gathering's not going to come. Rise up, women that are at ease. Hear my voice, careless daughters. Give an ear to my speech. I wonder how many of them really justified that away, you know, so many years ago. So it's not foreign at all for a loving father to manifest a very stern, sound orator, speaker before his people to try to make some impactful changes in you. As pastors have been making a point in recent messages, to offend you brings great change. You know, to offend you means it's going to challenge you, make you dig in. You know what I talked to you about with the resisting, the fight or flight, the survival mechanisms? Like, you hear something that just completely culture shocks your mind. You know, it's outside of your norm, unlike anything you've ever heard. There is going to be a response, and it's going to be based on whose side you're on. But I want to bring up. Let me go to the email again. I'm going to share some verses because she says, if no matter what, you know, isn't this something that maybe some of you have thought? No matter what, right? I'm just, who am I? Man, here's the verse. All wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. Let the portion of a sinner fall upon her. A man's wickedness is better than a woman's goodness. That's what she mentioned in the email. Sirach 42:14 in our Apocrypha. A man's wickedness is better than a woman's goodness. Women bring shame and disgrace. The other verse that we reference tonight is Ecclesiastes 7:28. My soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. And Pastor references that in his speech. I haven't found a woman, the word says. A man's wickedness is better than a woman's goodness. So let's just talk about it literally from woman to woman. You know, if it was just me and another woman in here, I would be talking to you the same way. Let's just hash this out. You know, let's really talk this thing through. Let's be real with ourselves. And the Father said, be holy, for I am holy. And he put that command on his people. So let's get a checklist. All right, let's use Shadray, a woman of a meek and quiet spirit, humble in the eyes of Yah, first one to come to my mind. So Shadray's going to get her checklist out, right? I'm just using her name, but each of you would too. Am I, that's what you're asking yourself, holy as he is holy? All right? Let's go back to the verse. A woman I found none. All right, let's go back to the checklist. Are my thoughts holy? A woman I found none. Are my feet swift to make my own path, to do my own way, to do my own thing without any consideration of others? A woman I found none. Do I resist the devil that he will flee from me? A woman I found none. Because deep down inside of you, there's an iniquitous, sinful nature that's done many, many abominable things and subtly got by with it. So what have we done? I'm off Shadray now. I'm back on. I'm considering the checklist for all of us. I wasn't on Shadray anyway. I'm just meaning I don't want anyone to think by any means I'm speaking to her. It says, hey, let's see. Have I been with many men and had many sexual partners? Have I hated women? Have I ever rose my mouth up to my mother and father in my father's house? Do I respect others? Am I respected persons? Do I avoid someone that I hate and that I don't like? Did I ever steal, maybe from my own father's house? Have I ever lied to my husband? Do I pretend to be who I am? The reason men don't know who we are is because you don't let them see who you are in front of them. That's why I said earlier, man, what's worse? Being a man like Shepherd speaking to women or being women like me and Jennifer and speaking to you? I mean, really, hashtag facts. Which ones, I mean, because you hide a little bit, you know, you surface stuff for the men. But for women, you lay it all out, right? You argue, gossip, get on the phone, hold a man's baby over his own head. You know, bedroom blackmail, lay it out. Are you holy as he is holy? When a man loves, what does he love? A soft spoken, chaste, keeping woman. But there's something in you that resists it and says, I can't, and I got to have my way, and I got to rise up, and I got to fight, and I got to stand up because he ain't right, and he ain't got his shit together, and I'm going to let him know. And all that drivenness, all wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. Mother Jennifer.
And you know, Sister Ashley, several times during that broadcast, and even during Facebook Live, Pastor, he said several times, you know, I'm not talking about the holy and righteous women, the ones who desire holiness. We have beautiful daughters of Zion. I'm not talking to those women. And I find it amazing that we don't hear that part, but, you know, we hear everything else as negativity. we don't hear the love. But on the other hand, I think it's really good that the women are still searching their hearts. I believe it was a few Shabbats ago where Pastor talked about, he talked about rejection. And he said, you know, there's so many of you that have been connected with this ministry for quite a while now. And so many of you are losing your cutting edge because during every sermon you sit here and you're hearing the word, but you're saying to yourself that this doesn't pertain to me. You're always thinking of somebody else. You know, he's talking to somebody else. So you spend years and years doing nothing at all about your own wickedness. You never acknowledge your own wickedness and you become dull. So I think it's really good that, you know, the women are really searching themselves, getting the checklist out, and acknowledging the fact that there's wickedness in me that I still need to work on. I have not arrived. There's still wickedness in me, and I have to work on it because I don't want to lose my cutting edge. I don't want to become dull. I don't want to be at ease. It doesn't matter how long I've been in the ministry. I truly want to submit myself to the Most High. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And, you know, as women, you know, before each of you that listen to us, we don't want to strengthen the flesh in you. It's the only reason we don't talk another way, you know. I mean, I could beg you weeping. I could cry out for you constantly, you know. I could see you in all your mess and long for you to understand like I understand. But it's not going to make a difference if we don't shock you and support the manifestation of the Father's Spirit in our shepherd. We don't want to fuel the old man, you know. Then it would allow you to embrace an old nature. And even for this particular sister or anyone that I talk to, you know, as a woman, each of you as a woman, you are actually setting your own standards in your own relationships and your own conversations on how much you're going to support someone when they come to you, when they ask you things, you know? And I appreciate a no-nonsense type response because I guard my space. If you know me personally, you know I do. You're not just going to come up in my space and be foolish, not because I'm haughty and arrogant, because I fear for my soul's salvation. You know, and it would benefit you to really, really stay on your face. And here's my heartfelt answer to her. And it was only brief because I knew I wanted to talk about it on the show. So I wanna reach you. I don't want to just, you know, try to bring out the same hammer that the Most High uses through Pastor. That's not the intention. It's him, you know, using us as our reasonable service here on the show. So I say to her, let the emptiness that you feel compel you to change instead of allowing it to compel your rejection of yourself. Pastor Dow's words and his speech are very light compared to the impact of eternal words pronounced over you in the kingdom. I mean, the way that he's ministering and drawing and still giving much grace. Why is there grace given? Because you still have time to change and to find your Yah, you know? I said, don't allow Pastor's words to translate into your mind as Yah's lack of love for you, because that's on you. And if you have been a dogged out, dirty, low down, jacked up woman, and your only use that was left was just to repent and to turn and to cry out for yourself and for all of Israel, would you not be a vessel fit for the Master's use? And I want to bring up a very, very impactful word when you're a woman seeking for value. And I want you to never, ever forget this for as long as you live, because everywhere you turn, you're going to see loneliness. Everywhere you turn, you're going to find rejection. If you could go down your list of relationships right now and say, do you please him? I don't know. In your mind, you might be like, well, he rejects me because this, that, and the other. Okay, is she happy with you? Is she a righteous friend to you? Well, I don't know, because one time she did this. Oh, okay, all right, well, let's go back to, but a woman, I found none. You know, let's just lay it out like the resume. I want to bring up this word, Mother Jennifer, and it's the word called ransom. It's R-A-N-S-O-M, ransom. Ransom is an exchange. Y'all go with me, because this is Jesus our Christ who walked the earth as you walk. An exchange that was made. It was a purpose to bring you back. A ransom can deliver you from the state that you're in. It's an interchangeable word. Just go down the list. What word comes to your mind, Ashley, when you think of ransom? Oh, my gosh. Mercy, cleansing, redemption, pardoning me, atoning for me, liberating me. You know, paying the price of the penalty for my sin, covering my transgression. Why? Because I was lofty. An earthly man can't buy you back and satisfy you. He can't do it. So you got this Messiah and this Jesus, and he paid for you and he ransomed you. But hold on, what was that ransom really like, Mother Jennifer? Oh my gosh, I'm going to Egypt with my thoughts, right? Because in Isaiah 43, what'd he say? I am Yahweh your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Can you hear him say that to you? Because he said, I gave Egypt for your ransom. Whoa, hold up, Father. You love me so much. You gave Egypt all the firstborn. You hear the cries of women all through the night who laid their sons to rest. Wow, you gave Egypt for me. Hosea said, I'll ransom you from the power of the grave. Wow. So see, we're not, as a woman, I'm not fighting to be proven to my Elohim. See, I'm not coming from a lofty place. I'm not saying, man, if I do this, then Yah's going to receive me. No, I'm saying, you ransomed me. But what did he do? Luke 4 says it. Hey, what am I coming for, Mother Jennifer? Guess what? I'm coming to heal the broken heart. You know what a broken heart is like, Mother Jennifer? Just give me a yes or no on this little essay I'm going to give you, okay? You ever been brokenhearted, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
He says he's going to preach deliverance to captives. You ever been captive in your mind, in bondage in any way?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
He also said he will recover sight to the blind. Have you ever been blind and now you see?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
He said, you set at liberty all them that are bruised. You ever been bruised in spirit or in the flesh?
Yes, I have. Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you, this Messiah, my sisters, paid for the release of you as a prisoner. Already. Price paid, laid down, stamp it, hashtag facts. It's over. And you over here struggling for some worth and some value in your flesh. Oh, well, maybe if I had a womb again and I gave another baby to my husband, maybe then I would please him. Maybe then I'd have some value. Man, maybe if I wasn't 45, but I was 25 and I still had my legs, maybe I'd have some value. Maybe if I had that ass and those tits and that face and her ability to speak, come on, you thinking flesh. This Yah said, man, the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to. Oh, no, no. He came to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. Man, he paid for me. He paid for you. Sister, you wrote in this letter, he paid for you. Don't ever forget it. You got models in this ministry because he paid for them. You got a man and a shepherd in front of you because he paid for him. And who wants his blood? We trample it down. Father, we crucify you over and over, and I'm sorry. That's what I tell them. I'm sorry on behalf of you. Man, women cutting total fools, leaving the man that they're with. Oh, Jesus, Mother Jennifer, guess what? We talk about that. Right. Ask me what. Sometimes I got to take a breath. I get fired up, y'all. I got fire shut up in my bones. Y'all got to go with me. This is what Yah has done to me. I didn't make me myself. I'm telling you. Look.
Hallelujah.
He said, oh, you know what? Let me share this story, Mother Jennifer. Guess what? Okay. Y'all can check this man out. He's a worldly dude. They made a movie about it. It's kind of interesting. J. Paul Getty, Getty. Here's his story. He was a billionaire in Rome, 1973. All right? He's got so much money. I should think he was a millionaire. Let's go for it. I think it was $98 million when I read about this guy. Okay? This is an old school story. kidnappers come in and they abduct his 16-year-old grandson. This man's got the same name as him, John Paul Getty III. So they demand, hey, we want $17 million for his safe return home. What is that called? Ransom. Okay, we want $17 million for a safe return. Well, long story short, because his family kind of thinks, you know what, this might be a rebellious teenager. He might just want the money for himself, so we ain't going to pay into this. A little time goes by, though, and an envelope comes to the door, and it's got his hair in it, and it's got his ear in it. He cut his ear off. But hey, we're going to keep on sending you pieces, little bits, if you don't pay. Well, they keep refusing to pay. The kidnappers keep making demands. They come to a settlement. Finally, okay, they share a little ransom. He paid the ransom. And, man, the man, when he gets out, he's young. He was like maybe 13 when it happens, right? He was so jacked up. He gets on drugs, alcohol, traumas, you know, victim of drug addiction. Goes nearly blind and partially paralyzed for the rest of his life, rendered speechless from a heart attack and some failures from some drug overdoses, etc. He had a horrible life. Why I share that? Well, it got anything to do with us, right? There's a story that came to my mind because with a ransom scenario and the payment that was paid up front by our Father, the question comes to mind, did the Messiah die on behalf of your character or his own? I mean, this ransom payment was given prior to you manifesting all your foolishness, lawlessness, and works of the flesh, right? It doesn't justify them. I'm saying he found value in you prior to the you know, right? So look, you got this 16-year-old grandson that was abducted. Hey, we ain't giving up nothing for you. Ain't gonna pay nothing. You know what he said? If I pay for you, I have so many other grandchildren, 13 other grandchildren, that might become kidnapped targets too, and I'd have to pay for them all. So you ain't worth it. You know, interesting, because they even made a movie about it. But you see the parallel, the difference in what our Messiah is. Our Messiah is not like man, you know. When you think of your father who abandoned you, or the man who did you wrong, raped you, or even the man that you did wrong, that you rose up against, you know, that you had a poor relationship with. When you think of those men, that's not the character of our Father or his Son. You know, it's just not. You haven't visually seen those type of men before, and they come up in front of your face on a YouTube page called Pastor Charles Dow, it shocks you. It shocks you. And then you're forced with a decision to make, Mother Jennifer.
And Sister Ashley, so many women have broken relationships with men that they had in their lives when they were younger. That's never been resolved. You know, they have broken relationships with their fathers, their uncles, their grandfathers, their brothers, whomever it may be. But those things have never been dealt with. And so then you come to the truth, and because you haven't dealt with those hurts or those pains or whatever happened, then you see Yah the same way, and he's not the same way at all. He's not the same way at all. And, you know, you use the word value, and if we really understood what he did, if we truly understood and really grasped in our mind and our heart what ransom truly means, then we will understand that our value is in him, you know, that we were bought and paid for, and our value is in him. It has nothing to do with the flesh, but our value is held in him. And outside of that, we are absolutely nothing. It has nothing to do with the flesh, but it has everything to do with what he has done for us, the fact that he's redeemed us. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. It's a beautiful love story. If you think about our holy checklist that we said earlier, right, when you're just, you're going down the checklist and you're saying, am I holy as he is holy? Am I really, you know, when you hear the verses, I'm gonna bring these two parallels, okay? When you hear the verses, I'm gonna go back to the chat room where Chef posted it. All wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman, and a man's wickedness is better than a woman's goodness. Okay? You hear that, and then you think about how in our minds in this generation, it's okay to do a lot of things. You know, justified by yourself and your surroundings. It's okay. You know, it's okay if I say this to him. It's okay if I interject. He's telling me about myself. I need to tell him. You know, it's okay if I rise up or walk out or take his children. It's okay if I contact who I used to love. It's okay if I reminisce of my recent lovers. It's okay if I keep in contact with my family, etc. So when things challenge in our culture, the one we're restoring, led by the spirit of the Most High Yah that is sweeping over the earth, when it's challenged, when you are challenged by that culture, you're going to repulse biblical law, biblical marriage, biblical principles. You're going to break the law, you know, with that kind of mind. You're going to say it's okay to do this because your evil for good has had no, you know, there's no line in the concrete. And when I go over here, let's type in a word search real quick, holy. All right, we go holy. Oh, it stuns. I don't even know how many times it doesn't tell me right here, but let's see for a second. All right. You got to take off your shoes from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. You're going to have a holy convocation on this certain day. All right? You're going to have a holy habitation this floor. You're going to live and rest. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. You're going to be a holy nation. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. You will be holy men unto me. I'm just reading the verses that pop up. It's from all different sorts of chapters, right? Aaron's going to wear holy garments. All right, you're going to give holy gifts. You're going to be in a holy place. There's going to be a holy mitre and crown upon your head. There will be an atonement for your sins, and it must be holy. Holy anointing oil. Wow, on and on. On and on. Let's go on down. Let's see. All through Leviticus, all through the law, holy, 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 holy. Concerning the feast of Yah, you shall proclaim them to be holy convocations. We're coming up on Passover. It's going to be a holy convocation. Leviticus 27, you shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good. Don't change it. Don't change it. Don't interject. Who taught you? What are you standing for? What tradition formed you? You know, where's your opinion coming from? Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I even see it today in women. If you get, let's say we get a group of 50 women together and you get a group of 50 men together, and if you compared the two, you know, you would see which group would have a disagreement first, which group would have the most disagreements, which group would be able to actually be productive, which group would have no problem submitting to one another. And I know for a fact that the women are going to be the ones struggling, because the women are the ones who are the most opinionated. You know, the women are the ones who have a problem submitting to one another. The women are the ones who are going to have the disagreements, because it's just the nature of a woman. And this is why it's so important to fight. You got to know that nature first and foremost, and then you have to fight against that nature so that you don't become just another statistic. You really have to fight against it in your heart. But you just have to know it first so that you can be better. Sister Ashley?
There's so much of our culture and our ways that you would resist. It's far as far past you even finding out, my sisters. Look at how much you resist holiness even now, you know. And there's even, for example, in Deuteronomy when he says that a man, if you found a virgin and she's not betrothed and you lay hold on her, he lies with her. And that man that lies with her that just went ahead and took her, oh, he going to pay, right? He going to pay her father. You ain't getting out of that. That's our culture. You're going to pay that man. Now, how many men really? I mean, if you just lay that law out, like, all right, Israel, this is what we're going to do. Lay with a woman, you're going to pay her father. How many is going to do that, really? You start going down this checklist of holiness and the requirements of just upright character, integrity, nature, and you just start seeing people just fall off. They just can't hang. They can't live it. They can't do it. They can't commit. Because what does he say? If he was to pay the father and he humbled her, then he would not put her away all of his days. Well, see, there you go. If you got a feminist mind, that's a problem. Because why can't she go wherever she wants to go? Why can't she divorce this man? Well, he may not put her away all his days. But wait, divorcing a man is contrary to culture. Absolutely. Him putting you away, that's not contrary. That's written. The father himself put away treacherous and backsliding Judah and Israel, right? But you divorcing a man is contrary to our culture. But you've made it good. You've made it good, which is evil. It's not okay. But see, this is what we run up on, Mother Jennifer, is I can just imagine that our holy creator is thinking to himself, just go with me. Daughters of Zion, you asked me to see differently, and you asked me to say differently when this is facts. It's like me saying, hey, Chef, come here, look at this, look out this window right here, right? Right, she was ready to run in here. Come look out this window. And she comes in and she's, where the window at? There's no window, right? So not, look out the window, Chef. And I'm asking her to see what ain't even there, you know? So what am I saying? You're on your knees and you're saying, wow, a woman's just that? She's all that? Yes. You ask the Father to see differently. It's not there. You're asking him to see something that's not there. I'm begging you to see this good in me, Yahweh. It's not there, Father. He can't see anything except what's right in front of him, you know? And the word comes up, comfort, right? Comfort, because we're big on that. Man, every woman, by nature, a tender, soft, caring, meek woman has to have comfort, right? And so he will send his spirit to comfort you. But how would he comfort you? Because even in the email, that's really what our heart's crying out. Our heart's crying out a couple of different things. One, you're bound by thoughts of rejection against yourself, right? Looking for your own value, but yet your flesh has lost value to you for whatever reason. And so you're hearing rejection. And you're saying, man, you're forgetting that. My value begins when I deny my flesh and I become submitted to my maker and my creator. So that when I get out my holy checklist, I can say my thoughts are right. I'm supportive of my husband and his will over me. I teach my sons all the time, hey, you're not doing your own will. You're going to do your father's. And I'm here to what? Teach you your father's will. So you're going to do mine. Right? You're not going to do your own when you express what you think you need to do. I want to remind you that I do your father's will too. And I don't do my own. So we both have the same practice. Right? So how am I going to be holy? I'm going to turn. I'm going to repent. I'm going to dig deep. And then there's something also that's got to say in your mind. This woman's email says, I found great role models in this ministry. any of those women, whoever she's referring to, that are great role models in this ministry, are all guaranteed submitted and surrendered to the order and the authority of their husband over them, yielding their members, servants, to obey the Most High Yah. And so those people, when you see that in front of you, not just Pastor Dow, you see a big following and you see people supporting and women conforming and transforming the jewels that he speaks of, and you go, oh, man, like that makes it even more challenging, right? It's easy to flee something that no man's supporting or no woman's supporting. But now you bumped up against a ministry that's saying, hey, I got to witness this man's of Yah. And he's got a message of deliverance for the house of Israel. And he's changed my life. And this is who I am now. Right? And you get this big, large group. I say large, but you get this group of women, whoever they are, your role models, etc. And everywhere you turn, you can't be your old person. So how can the Father comfort you then? It's only, here's your key, and how do you receive comfort from the Father? How do I receive comfort? Through your tears. That's how. Through your tears. You cry, you lament, you weep, you change, you'll get comfort. But you'll never get it the way you are. Mother Jennifer.
And this really is to humble us. Sister Ashley, so many women put up a wall of pride as a defense mechanism. And this is all to simply keep us in a humbled state and to humble us even more. And, you know, a lot of times you think about the word coming forth. And when that word is finished and, you know, you realize that, okay, these are some areas that I've truly missed the mark. You realize that, okay, this is something that I've actually prayed for. I've actually asked the Father to show me my heart, to show me the ways where I am contrary to him. And so the realization of who you really are in his eyes is brought out through the preaching. And that is what the preaching is meant to do. And I remember Pastor saying, you know, when he would sit down and he would hear the word, back in the day, and he said, you know, even though you knew you were striving for holiness and you were doing the best you could, then there are still some areas that were pointed out that you needed to work on. And that is the dynamic of preaching, you know. So the Father is hearing the prayers, and he's answering prayers. And, again, we prayed for this ourselves, and that's where the answer is coming from through the preaching. So we can't reject it. We can't think that we are being rejected. It's just that Yah is hearing the prayers and bringing the correction through the preaching. And you talked about comfort, Sister Ashley, and I find that as women, we do seek comfort a lot from one another. There's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, the Father is really bringing us to the point of seeking comfort from him. We have to know and understand how to go to him for comfort, because his spirit is the one that will bring the comfort that is needed. Sister Ashley?
Yes, hallelujah. And learn the tactics of the oppressor that you fight and resist. What is his strategy against you? When you hear, like, look, I'm telling y'all, the Pastor Dow that you see manifest right now and the way he's talking right now, it's going to escalate beyond your farthest imaginations as we get closer to the coming of the Messiah. If you can't hang right now, well, I can't say I feel for you, because I know some really strong, simple, soft, meek women that can hang. Because I'm not getting any pricks, man. I'm not getting any stabs, any, when you face yourself and you saw yourself and you look at you and you stop trying to value yourself in the flesh. See, the Father doesn't value your flesh either. It returns to the dirt you're made of. You know, remember that. I had a sister. I'm going to try to briefly cover our text communication today and not really, you know, not share it all, because it's not all pertaining. But let me see. I told her it's never your flesh that you should love. It's Yah's spirit, you know, in your conscious mind that he loves. You know, it's him in you. It's your worth through him. And it's never your flesh that you should love. Meaning, your mistakes are made in the flesh, right? Your aging, it's in the flesh. You're dried up. Your womb is no longer productive. You list all these things that you might have put some value on. They're pretty much fleshly, right? So she says that it was concrete to her and very understandable. And she didn't understand what I meant by, I had told her, if you can't say that you love yourself, then you haven't found a reason to yet. Okay? So as a woman, if you can't say, I love myself, then you haven't found a reason yet. And if you're looking to love yourself based upon what your flesh can do, then there'll never be a balance of value and worth and a good comprehension and understanding of the Father's covenant for you. It'll always just be a flesh gain, you know, trying to do the more works, you know, changing just for outward appreciation. But she said there are areas that she could say that she loves herself. I'm going to give this to you now, Mother Jennifer. There's areas that she says, I do love about myself. But I know I'm studying myself in self-rejection, and especially with the mistakes of my past. And I thought that I needed to be released from loving myself. I thought that it was prideful. So she says, something to take to prayer. Thank you. So she had said, I thought that she needs to release is loving herself is prideful. What's your thoughts, Mother Jennifer?
My thought, Sister Ashley, is that, you know, when you realize that you belong to Yah, and, you know, I heard the thought that she had mentioned about, you know, she loves certain parts of her. But when you realize that all of you belongs to Yah, and when you make up your mind that you belong to him and that you're going to give all, you're going to give everything, it's not an option to not love yourself. You won't even see it as pride at all. You'll see it as a requirement because you are his creation. He lives in you. And when you decide to not love yourself, then you're deciding to not love him because you've got his spirit in you. You know, all of you belongs to him. So you can't say, well, I love this part, but not this part. And so when you really get the realization of what that means, then all those other thoughts will fade away, and it won't be hard to love yourself. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And my sisters, it's really my last thought for the night. You never want to accuse the Father of rejecting you based on any man or woman's words against you. You know, I'm going to go to the pastor, right? So pastor's giving out the word. He's coming in context. He's coming with power, great authority. He's hidden a very lofty, arrogant, high-minded spirit that's manifesting amongst the women. And sometimes, even as a sister, you need to just sit down, stay in your place, and calm your heart because you don't know the weight of what he's bearing or what type of spirit he's even being directed by the Father to hit, you know, the impact of that. And sometimes hindsight or when you don't know, you can just start to question, you know, and because your own rejection of yourself, you start, you know, getting flustered and stressed out about you. And you want to rid yourself of all those pricks, you know. You want to be able to just sit really calmly and just hear the word for what it is. So your fight and your resistance now is, I'm going to rid myself from all these pricks, you know, just one at a time. But I'm not going to base my Creator's love for me, who's already ransomed me, on these words that are penetrating a woman's spirit. Because I'm not speaking against the word, and I'm not speaking even against our shepherd, Yah forbid. What I'm saying is there's no man or woman's acceptance of you that's going to take the place of the Father for you. You know, it's like the Messiah, you know. Hey, I'm going to put you in the womb of this woman, raise you up, fill you with all measure of power in the word. You're going to manifest. You're my son. but I'm only creating you to die hated. So if I create you to die hated, it's never really going to appear on earth like I love you. Not to the people, right? They spit on him. You say you're the son of man, the son of God. Who are you? You're not yet 50 years old. He's darting. You know, he's darting and hiding behind crowds. He's going here and there, having to avoid places, you know, trying to go out on ships to maybe to get some R&R or whatever. And here comes the crowd that does love him and want to hear. You know, he had some kind of lot. And so it wasn't, the Father's love was not manifest in the people around him. He had followers, sure. He had disciples, sure. But, man, he rested in the Father's love. That's how he could say, man, you know, let this cup pass. But if it be your will, you know. So as a woman, why are you created? Why are you living, moving, and breathing, you know? When Satan comes to say, oh, you're just cursed, you're just full of wickedness, there'll never be any hope, right? Whatever claim he lays upon you. No, it's not Satan's words that define my Father's love for me. And it's no man's love, relationship, marriage, or anything that's going to fulfill that love either. It has to be an order in your steps and in the fruit of your life for you to even embrace and understand the peace that comes with hearing a word like we hear and producing, my sisters. And I hope this helps. I really, really do, because I don't, you know, I haven't had anybody coddle me along the way. You know, I had a really tough time. Let's say, when would it have been? I lived through a very miraculous trauma. And, you know, one of the main reasons, Mother Jennifer, that I don't talk about it is because it would consume so much of a show and so much time that it's just never been timely, you know. There's no reason at this time. But I have a, you know, really powerful life experience and a very, very intricate way that the Father comforted and restored and healed. And, man, he can meet you right where you're at when you believe in him, call on him, you have faith for him. And so even in great loss, right, even in defeat, even in shame, even in every kind of imaginable circumstance that your flesh can fall into, his love is never moved. It's not moved by, well, she don't love you and she hates you. He said this and pastor preached that. And he called your name and he ain't looking right. You know, and all the, you know, I talked to a sister. I have two thoughts going here. Forgive me, but I talked to a sister recently. And she said it really helped her and set her free. Look, what does a woman's mind do when you're corrected? It starts dissecting every word that you hear. Woman's mind really, okay, he said this and this. All right, I got to get this. And he said this and this ain't true. And, I mean, you just like, man, just sly. That's why the Father knows the mind that we got, how subtle it could be. So you can teach your mind, my sister. You can teach your mind to receive correction in a meek way that says, I only hear the intent. Like, I don't hear nothing else. All the words that everybody else is getting caught up on, and, you know, I didn't hear the same way. And there's quite a few women that just don't think like this world. We just can't relate, you know. So when you hear a man of Yah, you just hear nothing but intention. And she said it helped her, because when her husband corrects her now, she can understand, I don't need to dissect what this man is saying. Like, this is right, this is wrong, this is do this, right? Then take it so personal, right? Don't take it so personal because you're looking too far into it. What's the intention? You ever had to correct somebody or even your own child? What was your intention? You ever been misunderstood? Like, man, what you meant to say was totally twisted, right? Or what you really meant to say, you shouldn't have. You know, either way. If you've been in those circumstances, start thinking like that. You got a man that's pushing start on a YouTube video, Mother Jennifer, talking to hundreds of minds, hundreds of people, and circumstances that are beyond your wildest imaginations. Let him do his role, you know, and let the word fall on good ground in you. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Shalom.